I pray that your spirit would be present, that we would be open to be loved, to be led, and to be upheld by your word. Keep mine to a minimum. May they be efficiently and effectively guided by your spirit to your glory. In Christ's name, amen. When I meet people, one of the favorite things I like to ask is, what do you do? After I get their name, what do you do? I'm not so much asking, what is your job? I'm asking, what is your vocation? Now, we usually think vocation and job are the same thing, but vocation is actually from the Latin word that vocal is from. Vocare, it's to call. In other words, what do you do? What gets your heart? What grabs your soul? What would you do even if you didn't get paid to do it? You wake up. You think about it. You go to sleep. You're thinking about it. What do you do? Epiphany is all about calls that God makes to people. Last week we looked at Jeremiah, and God made a call to him, and what Jeremiah protested, I'm not adequate. I can't do what you've called me to do. So God made him ready. Today in Isaiah 6, if you'll turn or look there, we see Isaiah and his call gets the response, not that I'm inadequate. Isaiah says, I'm not worthy. Isaiah says, I'm not worthy to hear your call. So God has to set him. And let's see how he does that. There's three parts to this short chapter in Isaiah 6. And the first thing I want to say is that Isaiah had a glorious vision. He was lifted up and he saw the Lord. And if you look in verse 1, it says that the hem or train of his robe, the hem filled the garment. Now I want you to picture the expanse of this. If the hem was enough to fill all the space, to fill the temple, how much more? Because a hem is just a small part of a garment, isn't it? A hem is just the edge. So what the image here is, we even see a little bit of God's glory. It's overwhelming. And he saw this high and lifted up. We hear that the psalmist says that God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Do you ever think that you've sinned in some way that God had never thought about before? That somehow you figured out something that is beyond the pale of God's forgiveness? That it won't extend that far? Well, as Isaac Watts wrote, he's come to make the blessings flow to every corner, wherever the stain is. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. And Isaiah is lifted up and he sees this glory. He sees the angels having to protect themselves from the intense glory. And look how he responds. He responds not with anything spiritual. He doesn't respond with anything fancy. He just has an honest confession. And upon seeing the Lord high and lifted up, he says in verse 5, woe is me. If we would put that in the vernacular, he'd be saying, not in any playful way, it's similar to saying, well, I'll be damned. He's saying, seeing this leaves me only in a place where I am damned. Now, is that because he was such a sinner? He says, I'm lost. The word there means I'm disintegrated. I don't have all my stuff together. There's complications in my mind. My daughter used to be on a... It wasn't Facebook, it was something, my older daughter, something else, and you would put like what, which I don't understand why anybody would like to advertise what relationship they were in. And you could either put single or married, and one of the categories was, it's complicated. Well, I wouldn't admit that publicly, but it's probably true for all of us, right? Life's complicated. Emotions run everywhere. And when we see one who is so altogether got it together, it's not so much the reflection is that we're that bad, but compared to perfection, we're undone. I'm a sinful man, he says, not because of how bad I am, but because of how holy you are. I have people, not at this church, but I've been in other settings where they're not as nice. And there are people, this will be a newsflash for you, there are people that might think I'm not worthy to be a pastor. And guess what? They're exactly right. I'm not worthy to be a Christian. And if you think you're worthy, you're the real dangerous one. It's those that think they are doing God a favor by being a Christian that are the dangerous ones. See, he says, I'm not worthy. No one is. But we're not made worthy. And this is the joy of it. We're not made worthy. We're declared worthy. What does he do? He says in verse 5, woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and the people I'm around bad as I am. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lip. Your guilt is taken away. Your sins atoned for. We're not made worthy. We're declared worthy. And in that distinction is all the peace and joy in the world. Because if you have to be made worthy, how do you know when you've done enough? How do you know when you can relax? Well, I guess you never can. I have an object lesson today. And if you get it, you'll get what this is saying. Someone who was truly like a dad to me, and I'm humbled wearing his clothes at times, gave me a gift. And the gift he gave me was a model of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. You can come up afterwards and see it there. And it didn't get damaged anywhere. That's just about the best I could do. And I have never put together a model in my life. If I'm going to work hard, I want something better out of it than that. So I've just never put a model together. Well, Calvin kept asking me, have you put a model together yet? And I said no, and then it got to the point where I even had to lie a little bit and say, well, you're laughing because you do the same thing. It's like, well, I've got it out of the box. I did a little work. Well, one day I realized he's not going to let me go. I better put it together. Well, that night I didn't have anything to go, and I started working on that blasted thing. I didn't want to do it. I felt like I had to do it. I'd disappoint Calvin if I didn't. And the whole time I'm doing it, and I'm not exaggerating, it says, 1 hour is enough. It took me 9.5 hours. And some of you who've seen my carpentry skill, you buy that. And you know what haunted me the whole time I'm doing something I didn't want to do just to please someone that meant something to me? I had this reminder that I'm not enough. And can I tell you something? I say this with love, because God knows my heart. I started to resent Calvin. Why is he demanding this from me? You're connecting the dots, aren't you? Sometimes we think God is like that. He gives us a gift. It's salvation. But we have to put it together. We've got to make it. And we want to do it because we want to please God, but darn, it's hard.
and the pieces don't fit, and I don't do it right. And other people tell me, well, you ought to get it in an hour, dummy. How come you're not further along? And we begin to even resent God because He's making us put our salvation together. Brothers and sisters, that understanding of salvation is so far from the truth that it's from straight from the pit of hell. The truth is, God doesn't make us put our salvation together. He declares that we are His and we're forgiven. And then He does to us what He says to Isaiah. Isaiah was consecrated. Now, you've been forgiven. You've been pardoned. Your sins have been paid for. Now go and tell other people. See, if God just wanted us to get saved and receive His salvation, and that's all He wanted, wouldn't He just take us to heaven right away? I mean, think about it. If all He was doing was fishing, once He called us, why not bring us home? Well, He leaves us here so that we can go and tell others. And when you go and tell some people, you know what some of your friends and family are going to say? Who in the world do you think you are? I know you. Who in the world do you... What gives you the right? Well, say, it isn't because I'm good. It isn't because I've done everything right. It isn't because I can put a perfect model together. It's because He's declared me His own. He's baptized me in His name, and I am a holy child of God. That's why. It's not complicated. It's real simple. My favorite story, and you've heard it, and I'll share it again, of grace, is told in a book by an Episcopal rector, Justin Holcomb. And he said he learned grace when he was 10 years old. When he was 10 years old, he learned his best friend who lived next door. His parents were being transferred, and his best friend was going to move away. And 10-year-olds don't make the best of choices at times. 50-year-olds don't either. I can't wait until I'm 70 because they only make good choices. But 10-year-olds don't make good choices. So Justin thought, I can keep my friend from moving away if I go over to their house, which is on the market, and he snuck in and he plugged up all the drains in the tubs and he turned on the water and he let it run for about a half a day. And as you can tell, water just did a job on the house. Well, he was asked about that time, did he do that? His father asked him. And Justin said he was no dummy. So he looked at his dad and said, Dad, I don't have any idea who did it. About a month went by. And Justin said he sweated bullets every day that he's going to get found out. He was going to, and eventually he did. His dad heard from a neighbor who had seen Justin go into the backyard. So the dad confronted Justin again about a month later and said, Son, let me ask you, you know anything about that water damage? And Justin said, he started crying. He said, Yeah, Dad, I do. And I'm so sorry I did it. And I've been asking Jesus every day to forgive me. And his dad said, You've been asking Jesus to forgive you? He said, Yeah. And he said, You know what? I'll forgive you too. Now go out and play. And when you're out playing, tell them how good your Father is. See, that's how simple it is for us. Should you be forgiven by God? No. Should I? No. Was there something about me that made God say, well, I'll go ahead and do it? No, it's His mercy. None of us deserve it. And all of us receive it. Just believe and go out to play. And when you're out playing, tell everyone how good our Father is. Amen.
Prophet Isaiah to remove his guilt. You sent him to awaken your people. In the fullness of time you sent your Son, proclaiming through his lips your promise of life, and through his death and resurrection your forgiveness of sins. At his ascension he set forth his disciples in your name, trusting your good news to the lips of the redeemed. And so we give our thanks and praise in the great company of sinners become saints, joining together in their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is God, as you transformed fishermen into followers and filled empty nets with more than their boat could hold. Show us your abundance in the joy of this feast. Sanctify us by your Holy Spirit, that we may be faithful followers, sent into the world in strength. By your same Spirit, make this bread and cup be for us the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of holy presence, in your temple, what is ordinary is made holy. Before your throne of grace, make your children into prophets of peace and heralds of mercy. Bless every man and woman and every boy and girl with courage to follow where you call, trusting the depth of your purpose. Meet with your grace every soul rendered an outcast by the judgments of others, and restore the fallen as your faithful followers. Renew your church to seek in you in your dwelling places, among the poor and the forgotten, the sick and the imprisoned, the hungry and the homeless. Gather all your children into your holy presence as you draw angels around your throne. until we enter your eternal temple in fullness of joy and dwell with you forever. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
People of God, the gifts of God for you, for your forgiveness.